You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And as we always say, with our listeners out there, doody, 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 doo. You know, I can never figure, are they in the ether?
Well, along with the ether, Bunny. Is well, we call it cyberspace, but okay. I would say most people are listening to us in their homes or their cars.
Yeah, well, I accept you as an authority on it, so and our listeners should as well.
Well, I listen in my office at home, overlooking the Fraser River.
Yeah. Now, well, I'm, as you know, overlook the Georgia Strait out here, and this time of year, depending on the tide, we're just about at the period of maximum floods from the rivers in the interior, and of course it's flood waters, Brownie, and it comes in here, and sometimes on the tide, you can see the demarcation between the Fraser River muddied, silty water and the pristine water of Georgia Strait. So it's interesting to see, Jim.
Yeah, and that water from the Fraser, which I get to overview, is full of trees, stumps and branches and everything from landslides caused by the runoff.
Yeah, erosion of land banks, bringing down trees. Yeah, I know that one,
Now, Bob, my question to kick off the show, if Stats Canada says Canada is technically in a recession because one quarter had negative 0.2% growth and the other 0.1%, so very slight, but technically when you have negative growth for two quarters, it's called a recession. Is it really a recession, and can we trust those statistics?
Well, the apparatus of government is highly offended by this, and they have called it a technical recession. And let's face it, for a long time, these government economists have defined a recession as two quarters of negative to zero growth. What do we have? We have that, but the system can't accept it, so they're calling it a technical recession. Now, what has also happened? Well, it's also a decade of subpar growth due to the insane intrusions by the Trudeau government, of which the last 4 or 5 years was advised by Carney, who is now Prime Minister. And Carney memorized Keynesian economics from the textbooks, and Keynesian economics is a dream world that only exists in the minds of economists. And so let's go back to what we see going on, and that is a magnificent financial bubble that's got everything. We've been calling it, Jim, the everything bubble. Everything is going, and this is great. Earlier in the year, we thought the good times could go through until mid-year, and we're getting into mid-year, and this is now, you know, various charts and markets and headlines and stuff say this is now into a great financial bubble. And this is number six of the series of great financial bubbles. The previous one is known as 1929, and that in the U.S. peaked in September. And then prior to that, the year, one before that was 1873, and that's when London was the financial center of the world, and New York was an outlying market, but nonetheless, The action peaked in London in May, and then New York set its own special high in that September. And the other thing about the end of a great financial bubble is that the economy turns down virtually with the stock market. Now, in normal cycles, the S&P will peak, and then maybe 10, 12 months later, the economy will. And this is why the establishment of economists include the S&P 500 in their list of leading indicators. But none of them did enough research to realize that that doesn't work when you're at the peak of a great financial bubble. The first one was the South Sea bubble in 1720. Just whoop, away it went up, and the public came in and became a sure thing. And then it crashed, and there were wonderful cartoons drawn at the time. And then they recurred. A great bubble completed in 1825. Oh, yeah. 1720, 1772, 1825, 1873, 1929, and then now it looks like this year will be the completion of great bubble number 6.
AI, is it going to create jobs or destroy jobs?
I think every new technical thing has created the same controversy that AI is doing now. And new is what's celebrated. The man of letters, Samuel Johnson, with the 1772 bubble, said that everything has to be done in a new way. Sardonically, in 1720, one of the stock issues floated had a new way to make sailcloth. So each of the great, then the 1825 bubble was the one before that was canals in England. And then 1825 was a railroad fad, and you had to charter a new railroad at the city or town where the railroad started. So there was all kinds of excitement getting in on those new issues, and railroad was new, high-tech stuff. And following the new high-tech stuff of a canal. But Jim, the high tech stuff was important because a pack horse could carry about 250 pounds over unimproved road. And then they improved the road, and you could have a wagon, and a horse could move maybe 1,000 pounds. And then later on, you had wider wheels and two horses moving much more. And the gains in efficiency were very good. And it went on until, as I said, railroads. And then now you've got all the new things now. And it is identifier of the fact that we're in a great financial mania. And all five previous great financial manias crested and peaked, climaxed. Hey, there's a good word, climaxed. With the public getting in, everybody bullish, and then they failed. So we'll see. We are, the numbers, the charts you see, the sentiment you see, I'm confident that it is a concluding great financial mania, and so in which case we just watch and see how it does. It would be very tidy if New York set a peak in September. And then you know that going way back in history, the financial disasters have typically occurred in the fall, like late September down into November. And it's going to be a very interesting summer, Jim.
So we should change the slogan to sell in August if you don't want to go bust?
Yeah, well, as I said, the big market, we know that the great bubbles, when London was the financial center, Chelsea bubble 1720 did peak in June, and the others then peaked in May. And it's, well, I figure that's part of the old saying about selling May and going away. And so we'll see. We'll see. And here's my prejudice. I would be very pleased if New York went right up to a spectacular high in September.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, our first headline comes from What's Up With That? How can we persuade climate alarmists to acknowledge there are two sides to this argument?
Hey, yeah, the climate alarmists are wringing their hands in hysteria because of global warming. And if they were to take a look at history, and life has been on this planet for damn near a billion years, and life, whichever form it may be in, thrives in a warmer climate. And a matter of fact, maybe about 400 million years ago, imagine the Earth as one great huge slush ball. And then take a look and see how much life there is at the surface of the Earth. Well, hell. And then the last great, last ice age, the ice extended all the way down to where Chicago is now, today. So imagine the ice there and lift up the edge of it, look underneath, what forms of life would you find? So they got it completely wrong. Warming, it has been good for life on Earth for damn near a billion years. And then these crazed alarmists get on and they say, no, warming's bad. I mean, you can't believe these guys. So, and then to relate it to carbon dioxide, you can look at chart of going back millions of years of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And, when was it? Maybe it's 800,000 or 900,000 years ago. It was up to 7,000 parts per million in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide. And geologically speaking, the current 425 parts per million, geologically speaking, this is low. And if you get below 150, life on Earth ends. So I hope some climate hand-wringers hear this part of the article.
From Zero Hedge, the headline, stocks gain amid constructive U.S.-Iran rhetoric.
Yeah. That's been driven by good news from Iran issue, and then it goes down on bad news. I think we got a headline covering that one further down. Yep.
From Zero Hedge, the WTF chart of the day, this won't end well.
I like them using WTF. And they're right. The whole bubble won't end well. Mm-hmm.
Inflation challenges U.S. Treasury's traditional role in portfolios. That from Reuters.
Rate of CPI inflation goes up is not friendly to the long end of the bond market. And then the other one, historically, real long rates adjusted for inflation, they go up hugely in the post-bubble depression. So,
from the Financial Post, Canada has a $500 billion opportunity if it acts more like the U.S.
Canada has been destroyed by Trudeau and, as we said, now Prime Minister Carney was advising Trudeau and is now running things, and he is hopeless. Well, his problem, he's a climate zealot. He really thinks that CO2 is bad for the economy, and here you have him as a central banker in Canada, and then now as prime minister, and he is blocking. Oh, they did a memo understanding agreement thing on pipelines, but under his watch, there will be no advancement in the energy business and storage of energy, of hydrocarbons, energy, you know, oil and gas, and the transportation. But he's sort of talking the story, but while he is in office, there will be no advance in our petroleum industry.
Well, this obsession with carbon, Canada produces about 2% of the carbon emissions on the planet. So if we shut down every factory, every home stopped heating, stopped driving your car, statistically that would have no impact at all.
Yeah.
So why pay all the costs if nobody else is doing it?
Well, what it is there's always been control freaks in society. And then when they get hold of government, they want to control you. And they just happen to be going on about carbon dioxide as a reason to control people. You know, think about it. This little petite CO2 molecule. Now, if it is going to be reflecting heat back down to the earth, it's got to have a shiny side down. You know, I've never seen anybody mention that one, but CO2 molecule definitely does not have a shiny side down reflecting heat back to the earth. And then when a photon of energy comes from the earth or from anywhere, it just does a little wiggle and goes back to what state it's been in. And it isn't, the nonsense is amazing. In future decades, they will never believe, the ordinary public will never believe that the world became so infatuated with the evils of carbon dioxide. Hell, we breathe it out at about 5 or 6% of atmospheric. So, yeah.
Well, maybe if we all hold our breath.
Oh, you've got me. I know. Jim, let's start a movement. We're only going to take every other breath.
Headline from Yahoo Finance, Anthropic, the AI giant, nears $1 trillion valuation ahead of its mega IPO.
$1 trillion valuation on a forthcoming IPO is absolutely staggering. And then we got the other headline.
Right, from YouTube, peace off, peace on, roulette leaves oil dangling. Bob, oil prices, they went up to about, $124 a barrel when the Iran-U.S. war started. Now we're in the 80s, and people are telling me the prices are still going to come down, although you don't see it reflected much at the gas pump.
No. Now, keep in mind that seasonality in gasoline prices it's typically set so high in May. It has to do with driving patterns, and it has to do with the refineries shifting over from summer, from winter production to summer. And gasoline prices high now. Well, that's the way it works.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and I'm looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.